As usual, a busy week at the Vatican, Joan. Let's start with Regina Coeli. And of course, there was the rally by the Catholic Action People, wasn't there, in St. Peter's Square?
An amazing number of people. You'd think they were going to have to spill out into the streets. I know there were about 150,000 people in the square, and most of them actually Italian Catholic Action, as they were marking their 140th anniversary. Actually, there were, I don't know how many countries, 40 or so countries with members of Catholic Action were represented, but the largest, because of their big anniversary, was Italian Catholic Action. And the main thing we must say is that not only, of course, were they there to hear the Holy Father make remarks about their organization at the Regina Coeli, but they had celebrated Mass in St. Peter's Square. Cardinal Angelo Bagnasco, who's president of the Italian Episcopal Conference, had said Mass. And the Pope, in his remarks about Catholic Action, he said, isn't it possible even today to make your lives a testimony of, a witness to communion with the Lord, one that becomes a real masterpiece of saintliness? Lovely words, those. And he said, isn't this the goal of your association? And of course, he urged members to respond generously to this call to sanctity. And I think a lot of listeners sometimes think, you know, you have to belong to an organization to become saintly, or you have to be, obviously, a member of a, give yourself to the consecrated life. And we can do it in our everyday lives, is what people may forget. And the people who are members of Catholic Action also, they're workers and school teachers and family members and everything else, the entire spectrum of humanity.
Are they the biggest Catholic lay organization? I heard that they were certainly one of the biggest.
Certainly one of the biggest, because you've got, I don't know what the numbers are worldwide. That's an excellent question. But I mean, if there are 140,000 in Italy came, I have no idea how many there actually are in Italy, but you certainly may be right. In the U.S. alone, you have an organization like the Knights of Columbus, and they're like a million strong. So, you know, that's really phenomenal. But what was interesting about the Pope's remarks, he said, defining today in the world, he said, in a church called to face demanding trials of fidelity, faithfulness, tempted to adaptation, he said, be courageous witnesses and prophets of the evangelical radicalism in a church that daily faces relativist, hedonist, consumer mentality. Make room for rationalism under the banner of a faith that befriends intelligence. Wonderful, wonderful words. And there's many times when you could hear a quote and you just know it's Pope Benedict who is speaking. So a very moving thing. And then the Holy Father, that day and following days, he talked about the devastating cyclone in Myanmar that struck, and the numbers go up. I mean, by the end of this show,
they could almost be even higher than predicted.
Right. And so he did talk about that. We might just jump to that for a minute and then go back to another big annual event in the Vatican, of course, which is the new Swiss Guards.
And that's always very colorful, but, and always picked up by the rest of the world, because it is such a colorful ceremony, isn't it?
It happened
on May the 6th.
That's May the 6th. It's traditional because on that date, of course, in 1527, 147 of the 189 Swiss Guards that were protecting Pope Clement VII gave up their lives to protect him from the onslaught of the troops of Emperor Charles V.
And since then, is it right that on that date every year, new recruits are sworn in?
New recruits are sworn in. They have chosen that date to honor their fallen. And, of course, the oath that they take when they are sworn in, and 33 new recruits were sworn in this year, the oath that they take is obviously one of allegiance to the Church, to the Holy Father, and to protect the Holy Father and to protect the apostolic palaces, or really wherever he resides. For example, when he travels, we know that the Swiss Guards go with him, not in their colorful uniforms, but...
Which were not designed by Michelangelo.
No, they weren't. They were not to dispel that myth.
Yes,
they
were actually still lives on.
They were inspired by Medici colors and clothing going back to the 15th century, to the 16th century. However, they were actually designed in 1915 by the then commander, Repon, of the Swiss Guards. And so he had designed these uniforms. He got the approval of Benedict XV, and the rest is history. So anyway, folks, they're a little more modern than we tend to think they are. But they're beautiful. The red and the gold and the dark blue are stunning. But The Holy Father always receives the young new recruits and their family members and other members of the Swiss Guard the morning before they are sworn in. And that's a wonderful meeting. He talked about their history, and he said, actually, over the 500 years, it's now 502 from 1506, in the 500 years that the Corps has existed, very little has changed. Certainly nothing has changed about the faith and defending the faith as they did then and they do now.
Okay, well, coming on now to Wednesday, of course, it was a jam-packed day. There was, first of all, the general audience, and then there was this concert in the Vatican. Let's start with the general audience first.
Well, the general audience, actually, the Catholicos and Patriarch of the Armenian Apostolic Church, Karakin II, was present at the audience. And he actually made remarks. This is rather unusual for a Wednesday audience. But there were several meetings scheduled during the week. This was the first. I think he had arrived in Rome Tuesday night. And so they both spoke really about the ecumenical dialogue, and the Pope highlighted how the fact that the Armenian Apostolic Church is working very hard, you know, for dialogue. And the Catholicos, His Holiness is his title, also spoke about the same thing. So it was an audience that focused instead of on a person or the Pope's normal catechesis. Last week, we know we talked about his trip to the States, and then this week he talked about ecumenical dialogue given the presence of his guest. And so that was a big event. And then, as you mentioned,
After the audience, also he made an appeal.
Bangladesh. Excuse me.
Let me say that again. We'll start that again. And then after the audience, of course, he made that appeal for international aid, for the world to come
for
Myanmar.
He did. He talked about the horrific violence of the storm, which figures have gone up to like 100,000 that have died. And the only greater number that died in a cyclone in Asia was 1991. It was something 123,000. Now, of course, we can't forget 2004, but it wasn't a cyclone. We had that earthquake in the Pacific Ocean, which created this tsunami, which killed, in like a dozen countries, killed 230,000 people. But interestingly enough, this event over the weekend, last weekend in Myanmar, seems that more people died really from the resulting wave and water than they actually did from the
destruction
cyclone.
Or the destruction of buildings. It's true, yes.
And the Holy Father really repeated an appeal he'd made a few days earlier to nations to come together in solidarity and help these people. I mean, it seems that there's like nothing edible. There is no water to drink. And so I heard just this morning, I think, on the news earlier this week, that 40% of those who have died so far, it seems, are children.
So often
and
the
that,
way,
that breaks your heart. That's a whole generation. Wednesday afternoon, as you mentioned,
and
actually,
there was this very keenly awaited concert in the Vatican in front of Pope Benedict by the China Philharmonic Orchestra. Tell us something about that, Joe. I gather you were there yourself.
I was indeed front fifth row center, as they say the good seats are located. It really was wonderful. We were right next to a delegation from China, and had I realized it at the time, I understand the daughter of Deng Xiaoping was there, and other officials of the government in Beijing. And beautiful music. You had the China Philharmonic Orchestra and the Shanghai Opera Chorus. And stunning, just stunning music. They did Mozart's Requiem. The conductor addressed the Holy Father in English at the beginning, and he seemed very moved. This was just my impression. I mean, it wasn't that far from him at all, but he seemed very moved by the occasion.
And what did the Pope say in his discourse?
And actually, it was very interesting. He talked about, obviously, he said this is a concert that was able to show us the vivacious reality of the world that is China. And he said, we can, of course, such great artists as we see all assembled in one place tonight show the great cultural and musical tradition of China and the story, the history of a people and its values and noble aspirations. And he said He talked about, I thought this was a wonderful way of leading into his remarks that I'll tell you about in a minute. He said, "I noted with pleasure the interest shown by your orchestra and choir in European religious music." And he said, "This shows it's possible in different cultural settings to enjoy and appreciate sublime manifestations of the spirit, such as Mozart's Requiem." Mm-hmm. And then going back into Italian, this struck me personally, the fact that he went from English back into Italian. The Pope said, he said, "The Holy Father, I, of course, wish to wish to greet your entire people." And he said, "With a special thought to your fellow citizens who share the faith in Jesus and are united in a particular spiritual bond to the successor of Peter." Now, of course, we all know,
indeed,
to interrupt myself,
yes,
there, we all know the history. You have had, since the arrival of communism, 2 years after it came, in 1949, the Vatican broke diplomatic ties in 1951 with the government. And ever since then, there have been huge problems for the faithful.
You have the underground church, which is faithful to
the Holy Father in Rome, yeah.
And then the official sanctioned church, the Patriotic.
The Patriotic Church. And, the government's sanctioned church. And yes, you can do this, and yes, you can practice, but we're going to watch over you. And supposedly, they are not supposed to, the patriotic members are not supposed to be faithful to Rome and so forth. And the government has named its own bishops that have never had the mandate of Rome. So there have been not a few problems in recent years. So for the Pope to talk about those who share the faith in Jesus and are united with a particular spiritual bond to the successor, Peter, those are important words. And then he said right after that, the Requiem, which they all just listened to, he said, is born from this faith. And then his closing remarks after that were, shortly after that, the next sentence or two. He said, I send my greetings through all of you to all the inhabitants, all the people of China, who with the forthcoming Olympic Games are preparing to live an event of great value for all of mankind. And then he said a few words in Chinese. A wonderful, moving event, and those are some of the highlights of the week, obviously, as we, are in Pentecost season. It's an exciting time for the church, the birth of the church.
Indeed. Okay. Thanks very much, Joan.